Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On this week's episode, we learn why you don't smoke on a spaceship. Annie gets a new job as a janitor. Whitney Houston pops through for a song about her favourite convenience foods. And Will finally gets a dinner date. This is Mysteries of the Unexplained. Muffin Tops, and welcome to another episode of Mysteries of the Unexplained. It is I, the Queen, the Raja, the She-Goat, Annie.
You just dragged yourself, She-Goat. And I am the ravishing people's princess, the Julia Roberts of the podcasting world in male form. Will.
Oh. Yeah. Because I actually heard now that Julia Roberts is all sweetness and light on the outside, but you wouldn't want to meet her down in a dark alleyway, if you know what I mean.
That's all you got, lady. Two something and two fucking ugly shoes or something.
How are you, my darling?
Oh, I'm great. I'm absolutely great. Ireland is entering into a pure autumnal state. And we have the misty, rainy, kind of misty rain and that kind of heavy blanket which has come over, which just makes you want to be asleep for all the day, really.
Yeah,
Until
totally.
It gets sunny again, probably on February the 21st for half an hour, and then we'll slowly progress into summer.
I feel William's old SAD kicking in. But I we got into proper autumn in space of one day. It was like, bam, it's here. I have to say though, I'm kind of loving it. I kind of love this weather. Now, not that misty kind of rain that's like you look out the window and you're like, oh, but it's not raining, but everything's saturated. And then you go outside for 5 minutes and you're like, I drowned it. And it's not the kind of rain that you can even protect yourself with from with an umbrella, because it actually nearly comes up off the ground.
Yeah, it blows from all directions and
it gets everywhere. Yeah, yeah. It just gets everywhere. I kind of do love this weather, and like the spooky, wooky kind of dark evenings are drawing in and cold. And I think the thing is, I just love winter clothes and I love having 20 layers on me.
You love being protected from the elements, do you? Kind of in a Pantene commercial where you're outside and your hair is blowing, that type of thing.
God, my hair hasn't blown since I was like about 5. It's just like concrete now at this stage. Yes, it is upon us, my darlings. And spooky season is here and we are preparing for some Halloween treats. But we'll have to keep them up our sleeves a little bit longer. But I have a great story for you today. I was just so funny. I was just saying to Will there before we rolled. So obviously, we don't show each other the stories because, you know, it's that element of surprise, darling, that keeps you on your feet, love. But I just got him to scroll down through the document and I was like, and then you've got to be this, and then you've got to be this, and then you've got to be this, and then you've got to be this. And Will was like, oh, okay, all right.
Multiple characters.
And I was like, but I'm ruining the story. I was like, but don't read any of the text. You can't read the text now. I can only give you a slight hint as to the type of personality you're trying to embody. Isn't that it?
That's it. And now they're going to be all jumbled in my head. So it's lucky dip of what you're going to get.
Totally. I know.
Lucky dip.
It doesn't really matter that I put directions in front of them in italics, because you're just going to do whatever comes into your fucking head.
Whatever
anyway,
I channel, Annie. Whatever I channel. I'm a clairvoyant. Clairaudience and Claire Essence.
Oh, Blair St. Clair. You're a little bit Blair St. Clair as well.
And Claire all hair done.
You definitely need some.
I do. Get rid of the grays.
My mum was telling me about there just quickly. My mum was telling me about like the days when all the men used to put shoe polish in their hair, like before they went out to the dances and stuff. And she said then that like they'd have to be real careful that they weren't like dancing too hard or sweating too much, because they'd have like black rivers running down their forehead.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's tragic, isn't it?
I know, but just like men have been at it for years, the same as women. Don't you be pretending that you don't care about that dew.
Who are you talking to?
Sorry, I'm actually kind of talking to myself there. Anyway, listen, right. This story is called The Return of the Man from Venus. Yes, he's already been here before. What the fuck is going on? I don't know. You're just going to kind of have to hold on to your trainer bras and just go with me with this one, okay? Here we go. I had been investigating the phenomenon of saucers for some time and had written about my meeting with an extraterrestrial in the book Flying Saucers Have Landed a few months earlier when I flew to LA to carry out more work. And I had this constant and unerring feeling that something was about to happen there. I was in the hotel lobby late one night and had just said goodbye to an old friend I had met for drinks when I was approached by two men, one of whom addressed me by name. Both appeared to be young businessmen of a certain type, and because I had by then been on many TV and radio shows and was known quite well in that particular hotel, this wasn't really anything out of the ordinary. They could have known me from anywhere. The shorter man, who had called my name, reached out to shake my hand. And as I took it, I was immediately filled with a feeling of immense joy. It was exactly the same feeling I had experienced with the man I had met in the desert on that fateful day in 1952. And I knew right away that these were no inhabitants of this earth. I was being visited yet again. The younger man then said,
"We were to meet you. Do you have time to come with us?"
I immediately replied,
"I place myself entirely in your hands."
Oh, you've said that before. I followed them out of the hotel lobby and into the car, and we all sat in the front seat as we drove silently out into the LA hills. It may seem like sheer madness to willingly be led away into the night by complete strangers, but I had the impression that these beings were true friends. Finally, the taller man spoke for the first time.
"You have been very patient. We know how much you were wondering who we are and where we're taking you."
I acknowledged that yes, I was very curious, but I was also happy to wait for this information. The speaker smiled and nodded at the driver.
"He is from the planet you call Mars, and I am from one you call Saturn."
His English was perfect, and he spoke softly and politely, as did the other. I wondered how and where they had mastered the language. As soon as the thought passed through my mind, the Martian seemed to recognize it and answer it.
"We are what you call here on Earth. You might call us contact men. We live and work here on Earth because, as you know, it is necessary on Earth to earn money with which to buy clothing and many things people must have. We have lived on your planet for several years now. At first we had a slight accent, but as you can see, that has been overcome."
Has it? Has it been overcome? Because you sound Russian.
I think
from a small village in northern Russia. and you've came to live in America for a couple of years or something. But okay, I realized, you've overcome the accent.
I realize as I'm staring at it, it's totally Russian. I'm sorry. Now go on, this is your line.
We understand you people better than most of you know yourselves, and can plainly see the reasons for many of your unhappy conditions. We are allowed brief visit to our home planets. We are aware that you have faced much ridicule and criticism for your persistence in proclaiming the reality of human life on other planets. It is dangerous indeed. If people found out that our homes were other planets, we would be labelled as insane.
Bit of a drinker. Likes a drink, so he's crazy. Because if you like a drink, you're crazy.
I love the way they're like as well, oh, we just have normal jobs. Like, well, we have to, because on Earth you have to. So there's no benefits from being from Saturn or Mars at all. You still have to go into the 9 to 5 and go home to the
missus. There's no free ride here, girl. No free ride here. Win the lotto is the only free ride now.
I'm from another planet, but I'm still doing the weekly lotto because it's going to be my only way out. My only way out of the drudgery of everyday life. This fucking Martian's on his second mortgage. Step. As we drove, they went on to tell me that they had visited many, many men in different parts of the earth, that some people spoke of their experiences and some people chose to stay silent out of fear, but that the book I was currently writing would encourage people to come to me with their experiences. We drove out into the desert for maybe about an hour and a half, and I was deep in thought about the sheer import of this night when the Martian said,
"We have a surprise for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to human. Happy birthday, dear human. Happy birthday to human."
Oh, you're such a lovely friend. Thank you. I cannot afford a present as I work in Walmart.
Yeah, I have no present because I work everywhere. And we didn't know what type of cake you'd like, so here's some dirt.
Narrator voice. We turned down a smaller road and drove for maybe 15 minutes. And then I saw a soft white glow in the distance. And it slowly came into view as emanating from an object on the ground. We stopped within 50 feet of it and I could see it very clearly. It was about 15 to 20 feet high and looked very much like the first saucer I had ever seen. There was a man standing beside it. And to my great joy, I realised it was my old friend, the Venusian. His smile made it clear that he was happy to see me too.
As we were coming down, a small part of my ship broke off. I was just fixing it as I waited for you to arrive.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to human.
Okay, this Venusian appears to be Boris Johnson, but okay, like, we're going to go with it. I hope you have all these characters in your head now, lads.
I love the way your stage direction there was Venus, slight accent, because I know what people from Venus's accent is like.
Yeah, like, I think that's a good stage direction, no? He's from Venus, he's got a slight accent. Well, you're doing a fucking tough accent from England anyway, so you just do whatever you want there, love.
But sure, nobody knows what their accent is like on Venus, so it could be absolutely accurate.
Yeah, I'm giving you some artistic liberty there. Do you know what?
I'll take it back.
I'm sorry. I regret my decision. I'm taking it back.
Northumberland voice, please.
I looked at the ship and then down to the ground, where a small bit of molten metal, apparently from the ship, was on the ground. It was still warm, but not too hot to handle. I carefully took a handkerchief from my pocket and wrapped the metal in it.
Oh, what do you want that for?
My friend from Venus asked. I explained that it might help me prove their existence if I had some concrete evidence. He smiled.
Yes, you are a race of trophy hunters, aren't you? But I'm afraid you will find that all our that alloy contains all the metals found on Earth, since they are much the same on all planets, really. Interesting, eh?
Puff, puff, puff. I will have some tea, old chap. Then my friends, who I was later to name Furcon, Orthon, and Ramu, took me on a tour of their ships, the smaller one and the much bigger one awaiting us in the sky. Now, there follows about 5 chapters of very detailed technical aspects of the ships and the author's theory about how they worked, including diagrams. I will show ye some of these diagrams. They mean fuck all to me, and I think that you might be more interested in the fact that we're about to meet some of the sexy lady aliens.
Ooh.
Woohoo! As I stepped through the doorway into the luxurious lounge, he's on the ship right now, by the way, and they have a lounge. It sounds to me like a kind of high-end kind of bar, like, you know, somewhere fancy that you'd go for a first date if you were trying to impress somebody. Mm. Yeah. I was very surprised and delighted to see 2 incredibly lovely young women arise from one of the divans and come to greet us. This was an incredible surprise for me, as for some reason I had never pictured women as space travellers. So let me just say,
Jesus, come out of the Stone Age, please.
1953, sexism, even sexism amongst alien races, was very, very, very much alive at the time. I didn't think that women could be aliens. Oh, but you believe in interplanetary, like, travel, but just not in women being a... Oh, yeah. Okay, grand. Their very presence and extraordinary beauty was overwhelming. The first lovely lady went away and returned with a small goblet of what tasted like water, but was far more luxuriant than any water here on Earth. The little blonde was very small and wore tiny golden sandals under a flowing veil, like a robe, cinched at the waist with a bejeweled belt.
It was actually a Grecian dress that I had on that day. He got that wrong, but it's actually just a Grecian, a lovely kind of flowy thing. I got it in the boutique on Saturn. And it was lovely, I have to say. Got in a sale. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, they were really in that year on Saturn, weren't they?
Mm.
Cinched at the waist with a bejeweled belt, as did her brunette companion. Neither of them could have been more than 20, and each of their features was perfect in every way, although I noticed that they were completely free of any makeup or paint of any kind. Their lips were a natural deep red. I learned that one of them, Kalna, was from Venus, her friend Furcon from Mars. I was motioned to sit down on one of the many settees and divans that were scattered around the room, all of which were beautiful and elegant and far superior to any of the furnishings on Earth, as were the little ornamental glass tables that accompanied them. I did not, however, see any ashtrays anywhere, and therefore decided that these space beings did not indulge in tobacco.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, can I have a fag
this
here?
This fella is a tickle. This fella is a tickle. Did he wrote a book, did he? I'm sorry, I'm going to have a best-selling book next year. If this monkey man can have a book out, imagine what I could do.
Imagine,
this is,
Will,
ridiculous.
If you could only touch type, I swear to God, you'd be away in a hack. This fella, I'll tell you about him afterwards, lads, was like, this fella was revered by a load of, yeah, I'll tell you the story afterwards. Observing my thoughts, the little lady, and he keeps saying this, the little blonde, the little lady.
Cretin.
Absolute cretin. Observing my thoughts, the little lady from Venus said,
"You may smoke if you like. I will get you a receptacle for your ashes. You see, only Earth people indulge in that odd habit."
Sexy alien.
Very sexy. My stage direction was sexy alien girl.
Daddy! I was then taken on a journey into outer space in the ship and surprised to find out that Valna, one of the ladies, was actually a pilot on this particular ship and was taking charge tonight. Oh, and it was all being done for my benefit. They were taking me on my first trip on a saucer and it was mind-bending. Yeah, he goes into space for about an hour there. I'm not that interested in it. Like, he's talking about space stuff, whatever. Later on the descent back to Earth, I was asked to sit again in the opulent lounge area. He keeps going on about how their lounge is nice. That is not the best thing that's happening here. You're on an alien spacecraft. They had a really nice bar.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, the upholstery on this couch is absolutely wonderful.
He actually went in. He actually went into detail about the upholstery. I'm not even going to lie. But I was.
Are you messing?
No, he was just like very.
I'm beginning to think this is just a documented case of a brain aneurysm. This is just, do you know what's happened? And he's just made up this whole.
Maybe he's just
thing,
actually a furniture salesman. And he just wants to say that, like, he has replicated these couches, with the most amazing material he's ever seen, and he's selling them out of a warehouse there in downtown Florida, and you can get them.
Where do you get these stories?
I'm telling you.
I feel like you have made. Wrote this.
I did rewrite it, but this is all in the book. I'm telling you, and it will blow your mind that this man sold not even one but two books, famous books. It was 1953, Will, so, you know, like, wind your neck in. Later on in the descent back to Earth, I was asked to sit again in the opulent lounge area in order to meet with another individual, a being I shall call the Master. The room was silent for some time, and then the Master slowly spoke.
Our main purpose in coming to you today, at this time, is to warn you of a grave danger which threatens many of you on Earth today. Your people may accept the knowledge we give to them through you today, or they can turn a deaf ear and destroy themselves. The choice is with the Earth inhabitants. We cannot dictate. If you continue to use bombs that fill the atmosphere of your Earth with the poisonous gases, you risk not only destroying a large part of the Earth's population, but destroying the balance in the galaxy itself. We, of course, have powers that could nullify your weapons and your peoples with our superior technology. But remember what you have learned here too. We do not harm other beings. Even in self-defense, there is nothing wrong with your Earth or its people, except that their lack of understanding, they are young children in the universal life of the one supreme being. Welcome to Mysteries of the Unexplained. Each of you have brought with us something very unique. You must follow my every word, and my trusted janitor, Annie Gann, will help you on that journey.
Oh my God, you'd make a great cult leader. Do you want to set it up? We have a few followers already. Fuck it, let's do it.
Annie, please clean up the feces that lady has expelled from her body. She is more worthy than you. Please remove her feces with your fingers. Thank you.
John, I've been demoted to janitor. No.
Can I get more money for bleach?
I so would be the fucking janitor. As I was descending into the Earth's atmosphere once again, I was so sad at leaving my friends, and I had an overwhelming feeling that I did not wish to leave. In an impossibly short amount of time, Valna said,
"Here we are again, back on Earth."
But this time the craft did not settle on the ground, but remained 6 inches above it. Ramu, my old friend from Venus, said that he couldn't drive with me and the others back to the city, but assured me that we would see each other again in the future. I stepped off the ship and back onto planet Earth. The drive back to LA was a long and silent one. I was consumed with thoughts from my experience. Firkin felt my thoughts. "Do not fear that you will be alerted at the right time and you will find yourself in the right place." I stepped into the hotel and glanced at my watch. It was 5:10 in the morning. I could scarcely believe what had happened, and I knew that others would find it hard to believe also.
but I knew what I had to do. A fan.
A fan. Very mental. Mental.
So this is from a book by George Adamski. And he, this book is called Inside the Spaceships. He also wrote an earlier one about the meeting the Venusian guy, the guy from Venus. What was the first one called? The Aliens Have Landed or something like that. He started off as a photographer and he had some photos of flying saucers that were actually at the time deemed to be quite believable. Some people said that some of his other ones were definitely fakes, but he was this guy that like somehow accumulated some quite believable photos of flying saucers, right? And then he, I think, started a cult for a little while. Well, it was called in 1934, he was a leader of a group called the Royal Order of Tibet, which there are orders of Tibets all over the world. He kind of started becoming known as Professor George Adamski, even though like he didn't have a professorship. And he kind of grew this following as a bit of a cult leader kind of a thing. He once convinced a reporter that he had lived in the ancient monasteries of Tibet as a child and that he had learned great truths up there on the roof of the world. So he had this very kind of Eastern philosophy like outlook kind of a thing. He worked through the Great Depression in 1938, but then, you see, in post-Second World War America, this kind of, flying saucer thing kind of took off, with a great big kind of bang, sightings in the paper, every day. Well, what people believed to be genuine sightings in the paper every day. And he came into possession of photographs that he said that he took himself, and some of them were quite believable. So then he later on said that he described this meeting with a Venusian in November 1952 in a remote patch of the California desert. He came face to face with his supposed visitor from Venus. The beauty of his face form surpassed anything I had ever seen, Adamski wrote, and the pleasantness of his face freed me from all thought of my personal self. I felt like a little child in the presence of one with great wisdom and much love. The Venusian's flesh was soft as a baby's. Weird. Adamski reported after they had touched palms, while his hair was sandy in colour and hung in beautiful waves to his shoulders, glistening more beautifully than any woman's I have ever seen. When the two finally got around to communicating, it became clear that the Venusian had come to deliver a message. Earthlings should stop messing around with atomic bombs, he told Adamski, before they destroyed their entire planet. To punctuate his point and to show that he had picked up at least one word of English, the alien added, boom, boom.
What the fuck? This fella is mental. fair enough with the message, though. I only agree with the bombs thing. Other than that, this fella is so self-absorbed, isn't he? He's so they showed me and they had a lovely, and they gave me a thing for my smoke, and that I could put the ashes in a receptacle because no one else there did. And they brought me to outer space and stuff. But the girl was really pretty and she sat and she spoke to me. And then they told me that I was the one that would have to tell the whole of the earth to listen, guys, calm down. We need to protect it. But I'm the one that could only deliver this message in 2 books. Because the message is so important. Sling your hook. Sling your hook.
I needed a few more dollars after the first book had sold so well. So he was kind of a surprise celebrity because a lot of people followed him. A lot of people believed every word that he said. And I think he made quite a bit of money out of this, back in the time. This is basically a synopsis of the whole book. inside the spaceships. He does go on for chapters and chapters kind of what this wise old alien who's apparently 1,000 years old says to him about. There's a lot of Eastern philosophy worn in through it, that we are all one. And he said that like all the other planets and all the other races from the other planets are peace loving and more evolved than us in that way. And when that we're kind of like the bad kid of the galaxy, like we're the one that's fucking up the whole time. And they were like, if you do not stop, you will die. And they were like, they also purport that it's like humans on other planets. It's not even that we're like, they're like weird, like alien types or whatever. They're like, oh yeah, there's humans on every planet in the galaxy, and they have all these really evolved spaceships, and they fly around the whole time on cruises kind of thing, visiting each other. But we're like, oh, that place that you don't want to go on holiday. We're kind of like Tormalinas back in the 90s.
We're the place that's like...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I'm really disappointed in us.
It's kind of disappointing. Oh God, we're just the souvenir shop that sells plastic titty tatty stuff.
We're not the place. We're the place that you go like quietly with your family just to get the sun, but you don't even tell your friends and neighbors and stuff like that because you're a little bit embarrassed that you went there. And then you go, oh yeah, we went to the south of France to stay in a beautiful chateau, when you were really like in Ibiza in like a crappy apartment, do you know?
Yeah, that's very depressing. I'll take it though.
You take that holiday. This was the 1950s, so I don't know, like if the boys came down again to visit us, like say if they visited me or you, well then obviously they would see like a higher evolution of the human psyche, number one. But maybe we've improved, maybe we've gone like on Airbnb like from 3 stars to like 4.5 stars. I don't know.
Do you have eyes and ears? Do you have all your senses? Can you look around you and see the shit show that's going on? I'd say they're like, that place is condemned. We're actually going to take away your 1 star. You're now a 0 star
We're
resort.
We're a condemned building. It's not safe to stay here.
We are condemned. And I think if they came down to either me or you, I think I'd get a book out of it. You wouldn't, because...
Why?
Because you're not that believable. Like, I would... If I saw you on the news telling that story, I'd be like, crazy bitch. you turn into a viral sensation, like type thing.
And what? They'd be like, oh, that young man there is very believable. I believe that he visited a spaceship.
I'd be 50-50.
Had drinks in their nice bar. Sorry.
All the men were very sexy, and they... They came over to me with their rippling bodies and was telling me all sorts of things. One of the men brought me over his shoulder into his personal cabin, and he told me in great detail about what was going to happen.
Okay,
to the
right.
In the future.
This is turning into one of your like fucking phone Zoom sex kind of sessions. So we're going to leave it right there now, and you're going to join us after the break for a little bit of Ask Willie Anything.
I don't want to.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yes, bitches, it's that time of the week again. It's that time of the week where we ask Willie anything. Boo, 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 boo. Y'all ready for this, William? Oh, once again, you guys never leave us down. You're actually so good, because I had put a late shout out on and loads of people jumped on the Facebook group there. So thanks so much for helping us out. And some of these are really gas. I'm going to start with Jen Hallbrow. Thanks, Jen. You're always writing into us here. William, what was your favourite TV show as a kid and as a teenager?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for sending that in, your question. My favourite show as a kid would have been The Secret World of Alex Mack. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God, no. What's that?
What?
No.
Annie, come on.
No, I didn't. But then we didn't have we didn't have the channels. Was this on a British channel? Because we didn't have the channels.
No, it was like on RT, I think. Or maybe it was when I got Sky and it was on Nickelodeon. Basically,
yeah, it was on Nickelodeon, you posh kid. You fucking posh kid.
We had cable.
What was it about? A gay boy?
No, no. Alex Mack was a girl and she was an American girl and she got covered in this chemical from this this like factory, and the chemical gave her superpowers, and she could turn herself into a puddle, like a metallic puddle, and like go and move around,
or like the Terminator.
Yeah, like yes, the exact same graphics. And she could also shoot electricity from her fingers, and she could also
from her vag.
No, from her fingers. And she could also move things with her mind in the style of Prue Halliwell.
Oh my God, this is where the fucking obsession began. This is where it all began. So that was your favourite. Okay, nobody knew that this man would be dancing in gay clubs later in his life. Jen also said, you are both the greatest virtual besties. Thank you so much, you're so cute, love you. Caroline WC says, Will, if you could ask Annie anything, what would it be? I think you're looking for a fight, so you are.
Oh, thanks for your question. I would ask Annie, where do you get off? No, I would ask you, how do you get the stains out of your knickers? What do you use? What do you use?
Baking soda. Emily Jane's. Emily Jane said, you've never seen my knickers. Emily Jane says, if you could have a dinner party with only dead famous people, who would you have? Six plus Annie, because I get to go to all the parties. You need six dead famous people, William.
Oh, Jesus. Now you're really putting me on the spot there now. Six dead famous people. Oh, this is crazy.
Well, you're not remembering the one that should come to your mind straight away. Do you want me to help you out with the start of this, Will?
Go on.
Our queen mother, Whitney Houston.
Oh no, she'd take over the table. Be singing and all after a few drinks. You know, hey-oh. I'd be like, will that one simmer down? I'd be like, would you don't give her any more drink? And she'd be like, hey-oh. Bobby, shit like that. I wouldn't be able for that. No, I'd probably ask dead famous people. Oh, this is a tough one, Annie. Now I'd ask Michael Jackson just to be like, "What is up with you? You little creep." I'd be like, what's
sorry,
the story with you?
Sorry. What is the fucking story with you?
I think I would be a little bit. What's your fucking story? I'd have Lady Diana to let me know everything that would have happened in the Royal Buckingham Palace. Everything, all the scoop.
Oh, wow, yes.
I would ask.
Oh, of course.
I was going to say, no, Elvis Presley. No, wouldn't be bothered with you. Sorry, love, move along. I'd ask Britney Spears' career. I'd ask that to come to the table.
Shade.
But you have three other people, do I?
I'd
ask Maya Angelou to come to the table, because after a few drinks she would say something very inspiring and make us all cry and it'd be like, just Maya. And then when some of us are on a flag break, we'd be like, isn't Maya just absolutely amazing? Like, smoking, talking about her.
And meanwhile, Whitney would be shouting at her from the other side.
Fine, then Whitney's allowed to come just for the drama. She's allowed to come for the drama. Oh, God, this is... It's a hard six. That's
five. That's five, Will. That's five. You've only got... Yeah, if you're including poor Whitney, there's only one more to go. Your sex life? Do you want your sex life to come and be like, hey, I remember you. What's your... I know you. I know that I've seen you somewhere before. Oh, there's something.
Oh, my God. No, I'd have to ask somebody who was killed in a mysterious circumstance or something to be like, be real nosy and ask, like, what's the story? Yeah. In reality, like, you would be... You should probably be asking, like, the people from the... the people from the Dyatlov Pass.
Yes.
Can't remember their names.
Yes, and then we could come back with a Dyatlov Pass Part 3 and we'd be like, the truth!
Yeah.
What happened on the hills? Very good, Will. You're thinking of ways to make money. I like, because the first five aren't going to make us a bobbin. Not an absolute bobbin. Now, come here. Heather Bobby. Faulkner says, Will, Bobby! Will, on what topic do you possess an uncanny amount of knowledge and could be considered an expert? Girl, Heather, I think you're fucking snaking up the wrong tree here. Love the three of you, Annie, Will and the Watcher, XO.
Painting watercolour palm pictures of palm trees. No, probably on how to work the Grindr app. And then other than that, candle making.
I mean, I'm going to give you the first one. The candles, I don't think you're quite there yet, but with the Grindr, absolutely. Denise says, would you rather be granted immortality, stop aging now and live forever like a vampire, or a really long life like an elf? Eventually age and die, but it would take thousands of years. Oh, Denise, you're getting very technical about the different types of immortal beings.
Yeah, very. They're definitely the vampire. Stop aging now. And live forever as a vampire.
I'd say, Denise, if you had written in that question to us about 10 years ago, then it might have helped him out. Alison Scott
Denise,
says...
I do think maybe 10 years ago would have been better.
Who wants to be an elf, Denise? You've been strange today, girl. Alison Scott says, have you had any more driving lessons? I passed last year at age 41 and it's made life a million times easier, despite me internally rolling my eyes every time someone told me that before. Oh, Alison, well done.
Well done, Alison. Mm-hmm. I have. I've completed all my driving lessons and I'm just waiting on my full test now. So hopefully there's a big backlog here in Ireland. Hopefully I will get a date soon and then be able to finally go for my full test and maybe pass it, although it's quite rare to pass it the first time, but sure, we'll see.
Hopefully you will get a date again sooner. I tell you one thing, it'll be grown over. David Mills says, Will, if you could ask yourself anything, what would it be? What would you like to share with us? Oh, David's always going for the psychological little kind of prod, so he is.
Thanks for your question, David. If I could ask myself anything, it would be... I don't fucking know, David. I'd ask myself, why did you waste so much money on absolute bollocks? Why have you spent absolute bollocks cash on share? Do you believe CD? You could have saved it up. Why did you spend so much money on step single CDs when you were younger? Why did you think you were a witch when you were 12?
Oh. I don't think you were wrong. I think you were onto something there. Deborah K. Lambert Finch says, what's the best gift that you have ever received?
Oh, thanks, Deborah. The best gift I've ever received is probably a holiday to Rome, which was absolutely gorgeous. I got that for my birthday once.
You're absolutely welcome, Will, and I'm really glad that you enjoyed it.
Oh my God, the day you bring me to a holiday, I swear to God, I'll be like, where's Jesus? I want to meet him because I'm obviously dead in heaven.
Well, if I want to have a holiday, it's actually to get away from you.
Yeah. Yeah, pull the other one. It's got bells on it.
Carlos Callazo says, Sean Ellis... Oh, no, sorry. This was in answer to Sean's question. Sean Ellis says, William, alien anal probes, pro or con?
Well, the pros and the cons of getting it, like...
Well, I mean, would it be... I guess he's trying to say, like, would it be a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it would definitely be a bad thing, you absolute psychopath. These people, I think we've just collected people who are like sexual fetishes. Yeah,
I think Carlos is like messaging us on FB from prison somewhere. Probably. It's glad that they let you on to talk to your friends for an hour.
Listen, I'm going to stop there then. But what about, they could be like, if it depends on the type of alien. Could be those Nordic aliens, and then I'd be like, yeah, all right, no bother. If it's one of the Cretan reptilian ones, no thanks, not today.
I've seen you drop your knickers for less. Janique Leslie Calderon says, Will, darling, with Halloween 7 coming up, what's your costume this year? What would be your dream costume if money wasn't an option? Like, what would you slay in?
Oh my goodness, thanks, Janique. Well, I suppose with lockdown and stuff, there hasn't really been like any big parties planned and all that stuff. Do you know what I mean?
No.
But I used to though. We used to kind of dress up a lot when we were for Halloween.
Yes, we did. Remember the Halloween?
Which is actually quite sad.
It is, yeah. Remember when we used to go out, Will, when we were people who went out to places.
Yeah.
Remember the year I was Amy Winehouse and you. You were Puffy the Vampire Lair.
Oh my God, yeah. I dressed up as Puffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, it was absolutely gassed. You had a blonde wig on and you actually thought you were gorgeous. Like, you thought you were gorgeous.
Do you know what? I'm going to put the picture up on our Patreon for everyone to see. You can go to it.
Please, actually gas.
Dream costume would be full on drag, professional makeup done, professional hair, professional outfit, like padding, the works, snatched.
Yes.
And I would let you have it, Henty.
I would love to see you in full on. Actually would be a dream for me to see you in full on drag. I'm getting very like Gigi kind of vibes from you. I think you would go for that kind of fashion bitch, like waif kind of look. I think you'd be gorgeous. Mm. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
You can make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, lads. Amanda Longton says, exactly what do you do with a drunken sailor?
Amanda, you leave him off because I can't be dealing with that. First of all, I wouldn't be on the boat with him because I got seasick. It would be horrendous. I would be like an absolute demon. And boy, he gets pissed and I vomiting over the side of it and he's like,
I don't think you'd be doing much.
I'm gone. I'm absolutely gone. I'd be on the lifeboat, gone back. I'd be like, my hair would be blown in the wind as I headed for the coast and I'd leave him off. The relationship would be over. Absolutely over.
Melanie says, Will, another Halloween question. What does your ideal Halloween look like okay, if there wasn't COVID? Ideal.
Melanie, thank you so much for your question. My ideal Halloween would be, I'm living in America, I have a big house, mm-hmm. It's done up to the nines with Halloween stuff. I have loads of the neighbours coming over. I'm dressed up in full-on drag eleganza. I have a spooky playlist on in the background. I have I have like a fog machine after creating a carpet of clouds on the floor. I have surprise pop out people that would come out and just go, and then would you like a drink? And I'd be going around like a rich bitch, being like,
oh, my husband will be home in a minute and he's bringing extra drinks for you guys. If you want to follow me, we have the poolside area done out like really spooky, hokey, hokey. Follow me, you guys.
I'd have like full catering and I'd have Annie to take the coats at the door.
No.
But you're not to move from the front door. You're not actually allowed at the party.
You would actually have me there in a, like an actual puppy costume while you were looking like a glorious drag queen. You'd have me there in a, like an actual dog costume, because that's how you treat me. Not just on Halloween, any day of the fucking year. And finally, Will,
you like it,
Root
though.
Says,
you wouldn't like
Root
me to
says,
not.
Root says, what's your favourite fucking flavour pot noodle?
Root, now come on now. We all know that they're terrible for you. What are you doing even bringing this up? Well, if I have to say, it would just be the chicken and mushroom one, because I wouldn't touch anything else.
Oh my God,
it's the only one
so
I can
bad.
Relate to. They're terrible. Now, Root, don't be telling me that you're eating them every, like at 12 o'clock every day or something, because you need to look at the mirror and say, this is not right. I'm going to change
no,
it up.
No, it's not right.
They're terrible.
It's not right and it's not okay. It is not okay. God almighty.
Friday
oh
night,
my brother
you and your boys man out to eat. Pot noodle. Then you stayed out. You had the curry one for free. Yes you did. If six and all you went out then for you real cheap. Cause only two of you had dinner. I found your credit card for C. You eating pot noodles, chicken and mushroom. You had a curry one as well. Must have been an offer on for you to eat them. Don't you dare come back to me.
No, please. We're after inviting, he invited Whitney to the fucking party and now she is not ever going to go home. But wait a minute.
You better
something
put
else.
The instrumental to that song to the back of this.
I can't, Will. I can't. YouTube violation. Wait a minute. Roisin, somebody asked me this week, was Roisin a real person? Oh, somebody on the Patreon. And I just want to say, do you think I would treat a real person like this? Roisin, get your fucking arse over here this minute. I am sick. You've been down there eating pot noodles, watching EastEnders on telly while I've been up here recording. Yeah, well, you're late for the news. Hand it to me and remove yourself. Hand it to me and remove yourself. Your extensions are rotten, by the way. Beep, 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 beep. Alabama man says he stole vehicle because God told him to do it. Beep, 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 beep. Yes, an Alabama man accused of stealing a vehicle from a fire station announced his candidacy for mayor, flirted with a reporter and admitted to stealing the vehicle with God's help, all within the span of less than a minute. A video shot by the Fox-affiliated TV station in Mobile, Alabama, shows Jeffrey McCants being being escorted out of the police station. McCants, who was charged with stealing a marked Richard Pritchard fire rescue vehicle, introduces himself to the cameras and says he is, in inverted commas, running for mayor of Mobile, Alabama, baby. Close inverted commas. When asked by a female reporter why McCann supposedly stole the vehicle, he tells her he wouldn't have stole it. Open inverted commas. If I had a woman like you. Like you. He clarifies that she allegedly stole the vehicle because God told him to. And guess what? God helps me do everything, McCann says, as an officer escorts him into a police vehicle. I steal everything, man. I steal your heart, baby. But McCann was not finished there. I wish I was so confident walking out in handcuffs. God helps me do everything, good and bad, he says in the video. He helps me get away from the police, but not this time. The camera then pans to show another man in handcuffs being escorted into the same vehicle. When a reporter asks him if he was involved in the alleged auto theft, McCants pipes up and says, no, I did it, man. He didn't do shit. I did everything. McCants says he will steal a police car, in inverted commas, After he's released from custody, the station also reported Thursday that McCants is being held at Mobile County Metro Jail on charges of first-degree theft and first-degree burglary. Well, I wish him all the best with his God-induced stealing spree. And I hope he gets something very nice for himself now the next time, because he's a Christian man. Well, he's a Christian man. He's doing it for God.
He's a kind man at heart. He's a good fella, really. You know, he's a good... he's a bit of a drinker.
He'd be a bit of a drinker. I'd say he'd be a bit of a meth smoker. I'd say a little bit of crystal meth there. And I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking, you know, like when you usually go stealing stuff, it's usually after a little bit of a toke on your pipe and you're like, hey, let's go for it.
Yeah, in fairness. Yeah. And I mean... Like, who hasn't done crystal meth, had cocaine up their nose and drank loads and then gone off and said, being really confident? I mean, who hasn't? Come on, guys. It's usually a Monday or Tuesday starting into the week. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty normal at this stage. It's equivalent of having an iced tea, you know?
Oh, my God. I wish I had the confidence of him coming out of jail. I just wish I had that confidence going around in my daily life. Like, imagine the amount of shit you'd get done.
I know. If you only had the same amount of confidence as you have, that's as the amount of thickness of your thick brass neck on you. I tell you, you'd be up in the fucking clouds. I'd be like, Annie, would you come down? Oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah, yeah. I know you call me a peasant. Do you want to come down? Thank you.
I don't know where this thick neck thing you have about me came out of, but I can tell you one thing. I have a very delicate and swan-like neck. And on that, I'll thank you not to be passing comments on my appearance. All right. That wraps it up for this week, lads. And thanks so much for joining in and for all of your questions. And now Will is going to take his hand out of his pants, do some work and give you the socials.
Hi, it's me again. No, don't check that. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, and all the links are actually in the show notes of today's episode. And if you would like more, you can get an extra bonus episode every Wednesday, which is called Motu Weird Wednesdays. And just follow the link there in our Patreon in the show notes, and you can sign up if you wish for loads and loads and loads of episodes at this point.
Absolutely. Listen, I would think now there's absolutely not hundreds, but hundreds of hours worth for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it's a good deal. It's now. A good deal.
Of absolute tripe now, lads. I'm not, but like, you'll have a little laugh at it. I mean, we never solve any problems. We probably just make more for the world, but I don't know. I mean, we're only experts in candle making and grinder profiles. That's just Will. I'm an expert in nothing. Absolutely nothing. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to write in your grinds, your gears to the Patreon. And Motu Weird Wednesdays will be back with you next Wednesday. Until then, stay safe, my loves. Join us next week for more mysteries.
The Unexplained.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.